We know what we think. What do you think? Call the Fan, 888-808-1019. Powered by Paramount Plus. Stream the NFL on CBS live on Paramount Plus.
Welcome.
The Casamigos Big Shot of the Night is brought to you by Casamigos Tequila. Casamigos Tequila is brought to you by those who drink it. And tonight's Casamigos Big Shot of the Night goes to the off day. With the off day, the Yankees can't lose. You gotta love it. We get a break. We get a reprieve from the lackadaisical play, the nonsense, giving up homers, running into outs, not knowing what's going on the base paths, fumbling the ball around, not hustling the first. Off day, you came in so clutch for us tonight. We did not have to watch that mess. And all we can do is hope that they utilize the off day to bond, to get together, eat some food, rest, and come in prepared to win a game and another game, because they haven't won back-to-back games since June 11th, 12th. They need to win a series. It could happen now. And hopefully, this off day is what turns things around. I remember how thirsty we were in the beginning of the season when these off days would come and we didn't have Yankees baseball. Oh, what do we do? We got to go a whole day without the Yankees? Now it's like, thanks. Clutch. Casamigos' Big Shot of the Night goes to the off day. 888-808-1019. And it's the off day after the holiday, right? Crazy how thirsty we were for Yankees baseball on the Memorial Day holiday, that Monday. Oh, the Yankees should be playing. They're the New York Yankees. It's not patriotic. Why aren't they playing? They had lost the day before, and then they came back and lost the day after that holiday. And not long after that, the gauntlet hit, the June swoon, and here we are. 4th of July has passed, and that's another one of those markers where you say, how do you feel about your baseball team? And now we're going to speak to some Yankee fans that are going to tell us how they feel about their baseball team. Kathy in Bayville, welcome back. You're on the Fan.
Hey, Keith.
Hey.
How are you?
I'm good. Thanks for calling again.
Listen, do you remember the days back? I'm not sure if you do. I was a teenager where every year the Yankees won.
Of course I remember. That's what made me this brainwashed Yankee fan, still believing that if I go to the stadium 40 times, if I watch all the games and buy this 4th of July hat and these jerseys and get on the Fan and root for the home team, maybe they'll win a World Series before I turn 40, 50.
There was never a time that I thought they wouldn't win. And the question I have for you, if you know, and it really bothers me a little bit because they're doing up and down. They're like winning and not winning. And I'm just wondering, if you know, from years back when they were so great, were there any times that they were up and down in the standings? Like, was it really the way it is now? Or were they always above and beyond everybody?
No, it's baseball.
I could do my research, If you don't know, that's fine. I'm sorry to put you out, you know, just to ask you this question. But I'm wondering, like, because now I'm like a mature, older person. And years ago, it was like so amazing how many times that I only understood the Yankees would always ever win. And I have so much stuff from that back then. And I'm wondering whether or not they were up and down back then, like they are now. Were there teams that were, like, you know, up to their par? Or did they dominate it?
It's baseball. You're never going to just straight dominate. But I think Jeter was talking.
I know, but you know what I'm trying to say, kind of?
Yeah. You, and like, you know what, Kathy?
What was that back then?
We omit.
How were they? How were they in the standings?
We omit the bad.
Is there something that history repeats itself that I see that this is happening up and down, and they're going to win? Or was it like that? Did they dominate back then all the time?
No, they didn't dominate all the time. And they lost in the World Series or lost in the ALCS or you know, there were some years where they didn't make the postseason in the early 90s. And then obviously with the dynasty run of the quote-unquote core four and what they brought to the team, it was expected that, yes, every year they were going to win. Every year they were going to dominate. But they even had some lean years. I think Jeter talks about a year where they had got so far out in front where they felt like they had won the division 3 months into the season. But walking around New York, they had a little bit of a slump, and New Yorkers were checking him like, hey, you better get it together. I was like, well, we're not going to fall out of it.
So,
it's baseball. Every team goes through ebbs and flows, and unfortunately, that is why the Yankees feel like they're guaranteed to come out of it. But fans like myself and a lot of people listening and that have called in say, no, this is a pattern. And like the stat that I've read about this Aaron Boone era, it's a trend that they come out of the gate fast, and then they cool all the way off, and then by the time they get it back together, they don't get it back together enough to run through the postseason. They get knocked out in the first round, second round. They haven't been able to get back to the World Series.
Yeah. Wow. I have to say one second thing.
Okay.
The only reason I am on this line to speak with you is because I once turned on WFAN 660 AM and heard your voice. And I was mesmerized by the sound of your voice. I almost like have like heart palpitations listening to you. I know you're married. But I have to say that I became in love with the sound of your voice.
Thanks.
And now, because of you, I listen to every WFAN radio.
Good. That's how it's supposed to work.
All right. I just want to tell you that
you might not be in love with some of the other voices, but that's how it's supposed to work.
I have to tell you, you have a great voice for the radio. And thank you for being here. And it makes me feel very happy. I'm glad you have a wife that loves you too. Sorry, you think I'm crazy.
She's asleep right now. She's not tripping. Thanks for the call, Kathy, and the compliments. You're not the first person to give me a compliment on my voice. But then there's also people like, this guy's monotone. He's got a deep voice. I guess I don't yell enough. I guess I don't rant enough. I guess I don't have a high-pitched voice where I start talking. Like, I can't do that. It's the nighttime. There should be some smooth sounds. There should be some bass in my voice. And I don't want to yell. The Yankees were making me yell earlier. I said, I'm going to approach this tonight and be calm about it. They got 55 wins. Okay, they're a few games out of first. They have Tampa right in front of them. It's all right in front of them. And then they have Baltimore. It's now or never. I'm not much of a singer. You know, face for radio. It is what it is. Thanks, Kathy. My wife doesn't trip off of that type of stuff. It doesn't even, she's asleep. And she's not listening to that, texting me and saying, hey, don't you go to Bayville and look for Kathy. And I'm not like that anyway. It's a compliment. This is the radio. So much of this is just who you like listening to. There's podcasts that I'm like, I can't listen to that podcast because I don't like that guy's voice. They're a host on this station. I'm like, I can't really do it because of your voice. But like I said, it goes that way for everybody. There are people that are fans of this station. They absolutely hate me. At least that's how they write on the internet. And I've heard the old monotone McPherson. It's not that I'm monotone. I have a deep voice, and I'm not going to yell at you. I'm not going to rant. I'm not going to, you know, lose my over the Yankees. It's a long road. No, Boone isn't going to be fired, and he shouldn't be fired. They're not going to fire Cashman, so you can stop that. I've been trying to tell you. They need to get it together. I don't know what it's going to take. A come-to-Jesus moment. Maybe it happens in Tampa. They're home, away from home. But you guys tell me what you think it's going to take, and I'll tell you what I think. That's the whole way we do the show. Bruce is in Flushing, next up on The Fan. Bruce has a great voice. Go for it, Bruce.
That's why I don't have women swooning over my voice like you do, but I make do.
I couldn't even get the joke out. Yeah, it's all good. Go for it.
I know you're going to disagree with me, but let me make my case. I think if the Yankees go 2-4 in the next six games, I think it's 50-50 Hal fires Aaron Boone, and let me explain why. He doesn't want a repeat of last year. And the thing about the Yankees in this slump is not necessarily the losing, or even though it's bad enough, It's the lack of trying on the field. Trent Grisham thinking he's playing in a little league game. Nobody, the idiotic play on Friday night, but he couldn't, when he screw up the run. If you tell me that Brian Cashman is not going to fire Aaron Boone, I'm going to tell you that Hal has overruled Brian in the last year and a half in several instances. And you know what those examples are. So I think Hal is going to look at this after the All-Star break, after, especially if they go 2-4, and he's going to feel and see what's on the field, and he's going to feel the need to do something about that. Now you're going to ask me, well, Bruce, if he fires Boone, who's going to manage the Yankees? And I'll give you a name that Hal likes, was a favorite of this ball player when he was growing up. He said so a few times and has managerial experience in both Mets and Yankees, well, at least Mets. Willie Randolph. He, even though he's, I think, 70, in this day and age, that's not too old. I think he'll bring back Hal's mind. He'll bring back the Yankee discipline, the Yankee lore. I think the players will respect Willie with his career. I think Willie has said that he can work with the new system of stats and people looking over the shoulder, but Willie is secure enough to do what he wants to do. And if you see, the Yankee brass have letting Aaron Boone managing this year, so I think that's going to be not going to be a strike against Willie. I just think Hal is so afraid of a repeat of last year that he's going to at least think long and hard about replacing Boone. And the perfect candidate, in my humble opinion, is Willie.
Thanks for the call, Bruce. I love Willie. Got a chance to do a Q&A with Willie in my hometown area. He was awesome. He showed up an hour early, I think by accident, but still, you know, he signed every autograph and took every picture and was very insightful and knowledgeable about the Yankees and the Mets. And, you know, similar to Buck Showalter, he's someone that got a raw deal from the Mets. He's not coming back into baseball to manage. Definitely not the New York Yankees. The Yankees are only going to get younger. Part of the reason they moved on from Joe Girardi was them coddling Gary Sanchez, one of the younger players that they saw as a piece of the future we're currently in. You have a 25-year-old Ben Rice, a 23-year-old Volpe, and you have Hal talking about the future of not spending all of this money on top free agents because the payroll is not sustainable. They're only going to get younger with Jason Dominguez, Spencer Jones, and the rest of these guys that are, you know, making their path to pinstripes right now. You need someone younger that can connect with them. You need someone younger that they at least saw play, right? If you're going with the player coach route, like Willie Randolph, they're not like, I didn't see Willie play. These guys didn't see Willie play. At least they can remember Aaron Boone's one shining moment. And he is their guy. There will be, mark my words, there will be no firing of Aaron Boone. Not in season at all. And then even if the Yankees come up short where Bruce was talking about a repeat of last year, I don't know, do the math on what it would take for them to win less than 30 games the rest of the way and be a 500 ball club. It's not going to happen. It's just not. There's just no way. And let's say it did happen, mark my words on this too, they will not fire Boone because this is the last year of his deal. And they'll just say they parted ways. They didn't fire him. His deal expired. And they cast a wide net for the next manager. There is no firing Aaron Boone. So I'm sorry whoever got on the fan and told you that. I'm sorry whoever, you know, did a podcast about that. It's just, I understand you're mad. Boone doesn't play. Boone can't field that ground ball for Trent Grisham. That's on Trent Grisham, a guy that wasn't playing every day, now getting a chance to play every day and not taking it serious, taking it for granted. You're barely even here. Mark DeRosa was on MLB Network talking about you're not good enough. What you bring to the table, you're not good enough to not hustle, to not be locked in, to not make every play and not be so cavalier out there. Volpe's the future. That's your shortstop. That's an error that he'll never make again. And after the game, you bring him into the office and you say everything why that can't happen. And that's it. The kid's already moved off the leadoff spot, been struggling bad, and is tasked with being the Yankee shortstop and making a bunch of plays. And it is what it is. You know, it's unfortunate when guys aren't hustling. It's unfortunate when guys are pimping home runs and early in a game where it's like that's waking up the, you know, the beast on the other side. And luckily you have a Ben Rice go legend and have seven ribbies in a game. But listen, this is not forever. It is a bad stretch. They know it. And this is what I hope. I hope in their team meeting that they have this come to Jesus moment where they look at each other and say, yo, it is not a guarantee that we will be here longer than this second half. It's not a guarantee we will be here the rest of this month. The deadline is the 30th. Some of you will be in Albuquerque. I know there's not a team there, but you know what I'm saying? Some of you will be in Timbuktu. If you're loafing around, if you're taking it for granted, thinking that you can just put the pinstripes on and be what the pinstripes were, like, you're mistaken. Right? Everybody look at each other in that room. There are a lot of guys from Gleyber Torres to Aaron Boone himself who this is it for you. How do you want to be remembered? How do you want to be remembered? What do you want your Yankee legacy to be? Because we're going to remember Aaron Judge no matter what. Aaron Judge's jersey is going to be retired. He'll be a Hall of Famer. Whether he goes to the World Series or not, the numbers that he's put up, they're historic. Like we're going to remember that era, and then we're going to remember little things about, man, Verdugo, first couple months, he was the best thing to happen to the Yankees. We were waiting for a left fielder. We were waiting for a left-handed bat, a guy with some swag like that, chains and tattoos. He brought the dog mentality. Remember how fun that was? Barking in the stadium with beware of dog signs, and then he disappeared. And then the rest of the team started to disappear. Juan Soto, who was hitting two home runs in games, multiple two-home run games. Juan Soto, who just was clutch. And he cooled off and was just kind of working his walks but not hitting the same way. Rizzo got hurt and Stanton got hurt. Like it's all right in front of him. And when Boone says that, I don't get mad because he's correct again. It's all right in front of him. But they're taking it for granted. Jake is in Guilford, Connecticut. Jake, you're on the Fan.
Dude, thank you, bro. First of all, man, I love your passion, dude. Like, I love listening to you on the Fan. I'm always talking with, like, my fan family and just love, like, the influence you bring, bro, but, like, the passion, like, you get me hyped, dude, when you talk. But I just wanted to say about Boone, and I totally agree that, like, he's the coach, right? He's not the one playing, and I love Girardi. I like Boone, and most importantly, the players like Boone, and they trust him. But the Torres hustling stuff, like, that's on Boone if he lets that happen the second time. Like, he has to tighten that up. That can't happen. But it's also on the captain. Like, it's also on the players. Down 3-0 after Luis Hill comes back, and we don't see any dogs out there for the Yanks? I mean, that's not on Boone.
I'm with you, Jake. Thanks for the compliment and the passion. I share that same passion with you, but I counter with this. Boone can only work with the guys he has. So if he's forced to put Gleyber Torres on the bench for an extended period of time, who does he have in that lineup? They have no choice but to hope that Gleyber Torres comes back and hits a homer after he was sat down for two games. And you're 100% correct about Judge, right? Judge is good friends with Gleyber. They've been in this together over the last 4 or 5 years. You know, as we all saw the video of him tightening up Stroman as he should as captain, he's got to go to Gleyber. We got to see a video of him tightening up Gleyber. Like, Gleyber, come on. You're 27 years old. You're not a kid anymore. You're one of the veterans and leaders of this team. But again, I go back to it. You know, Boone doesn't make the decisions on who he has. If you take Gleyber Torres out from second base, you got to play Jamai Jones. You know what I'm saying? You take Gleyber Torres out to discipline him. It doesn't help the team win games, and that's the only thing that really matters. Gleyber Torres is Gleyber Torres. When somebody shows you who they are, believe him. The Yankees know who he is, but the Yankees are stuck in their ways with the guys that they've depended on, like him, like DJ, and they're going to just keep going through the motions with that. I hope that something presents itself at the deadline where they say, no, we can get a corner infielder. We can get another bat. Let's get greedy here. Let's add some better players here where there's not enough room, where you got to trade a Gleyber Torres or you got to get rid of a DJ LeMahieu. I just don't see him doing it.
Yeah, I hear you. Yeah, and especially when it comes down to it, towards the end of the season, getting Stanton back. I love seeing Stanton having a good year this year.
Fingers crossed, bro, that he comes back and he gets right back into it, because historically what we've seen with him, he'll be back, but he won't be dominant for a month. He'll need a bunch of at-bats to even get to the point where his timing is right. There's going to be some struggles. They're going to be throwing him sliders away, and he's going to be chasing them strike three.
Yep. I hear you.
Thanks for the call, Jake. Appreciate your fan family, and appreciate everybody that talks about me, my show, what I bring to the fan. Like, when I'm out, I don't like to be out. This is my job, and this is the best job I've ever had. And, like, this is a proving ground, if you guys feel me with that. Like, you know, but, again, priorities, family first, and also taking a break from your job and your conquest and your passion and profession. Like, all of that is balanced, and it's needed. And when you hear me talk about the Yankees, before I had this job, I was like this. I've been like this since a kid. You know, I can go down to Jacksonville, and they laugh. They say, you ain't changed. You're the same. You used to be down here, blah, 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 blah. It's about sports and teams and players and stats, and I'm the same. Whether I got to the fan or not, I'm going to Yankee Stadium. Like, we had the caller earlier in the night talk about how it's on the fans. You know, remember the ghosts, and the fans aren't giving them the right energy. The fans are so down on the team. And I said, how many games have you been to this year? And he didn't go to one. And that's okay. But don't speak on us and the culture inside that building. We're bringing it and supporting these guys every single night. Yeah, some fans in there get drunk and boo Aaron Judge or Giancarlo. But for the most part, man, we're revved up in there. There's not many other places like it in baseball. Dodger Stadium, St. Louis, where you know whether it's Tuesday or Saturday night, there could be 35 to 40,000 plus in there ready to rock. We're waiting on them. Sunday Night Baseball, they were waiting on them to score, them to wake up, them to act like they didn't want to lose another series to the Boston Red Sox. 888-808-1019. The fans can only do so much to will them to victory. We sitting there a lot on edge, three up, three down, waiting and waiting. It's not good enough over these last few years. It can't just be Judge. They got to break out of it, and I think they will. Sometimes being away from home, which it was a holiday week, a ton of excitement. Like I said, the fireworks night, shout out to Ann and Tina. I gave my fireworks tickets away, and I saw the lineup come out that day. I don't even remember what it was, but I just was like, well, I just already conceded the loss. I'm like, I think I wrote, fireworks night is great regardless, because they did it for the first time last year. I had an amazing time. I'm like, fireworks night is great regardless. Like, let me see. Yeah, J.D. Davis batting cleanup, Jamai Jones in the lineup at DH. And I'm like, what, like, that's what we're working with. That's what Aaron Boone is working with right now. So I guess you guys can fire Aaron Boone, but I don't think Brad Ausmus can do any better. I don't think Willie Randolph can do any better. I don't think Buck Showalter can do any better. You guys got to understand that this team, they do love Boone. The captain loves Boone. They need to look in the mirror and decide right now, before this break, right? Because the break, sometimes two things happen. Some guys have their foot into the All-Star break too soon because they can't wait for their family trip. They can't wait to go to Arlington if they're doing that, or go wherever they're going. And you'll see guys, I remember last year being in Seattle during that Cubs series when Gleyber Torres booted that tailor-made ground ball double play, right? They had to take Domingo Germán out, and there was a rain delay, and the Yankees ended up blowing that series to the Cubs. And I'm saying, you know, these guys are one foot in the All-Star break. That falls on the manager. Boone has to lock these guys in for sure and let them know, hey, this is the most important stretch of the season right here. It's in division. It's on the road where our fans show up. And right now, our fans are quitting on us. Right now, our fans are turning on us. Right now, we have the power to change that. Every pitch, every out, every inning, lock in. It's got to mean something to you, because we're not promised tomorrow. Not all of us are going to be here. This team, this collection, this clubhouse, this unit that we have, a lot of you are not guaranteed to be back. Most of you will be gone. How do you want to be remembered? 888-808-1019. Let's go to Dwayne down in AC, Atlantic City, on the Fan in New York City.
Hey, what's up, Keith? I just want to talk about what's going on with this team right now. There's a lot of holes in the lineup, and I think the Yankees and Brian Cashman I think he's going to have a trade tonight. He's going to have a spot. But in doing so, I'm seeing a lot of stuff about Jazz Chisholm, how they might move him, right? He's having an okay season. The OPS is like a 733. But compared to DJ LeMahieu or Gleyber Torres or someone like that, it's a major upgrade. And I also think what's wrong with this team is that when I'm at the games, I was at the other game against, the last time I went to a game at the stadium was against the Dodgers. I see all these Jersey Mike advertisements all over the place. And Jersey Mike, that place is awful. I got a sandwich from there once.
Dump that. I think I...
Jazz Jism.
I think I got... I dumped it. I dumped it, but I think the last word he said was a P word that I don't think is fit for air. This is a children's program. And I'm not going to let you throw Jersey Mike's... under the bus or disrespect Jersey Mike's. I'm from the shore. They started in Point Pleasant. We're not about to do that. And I get you were trolling and you wanted to get to your point about whatever you just said that I dumped. But going back to what you said about Jazz Chisholm, I don't think Jazz is the answer, guys. In theory, if they could get him, great. But I think the Marlins are going to want a big haul for him. They're going to want a big return for him. This is a guy who was the face of their franchise on MLB Show. Kids love him. He would be a hit right away here because of the chains, because of the, you know, the way he swags, and there's another personality to add to this clubhouse. And also a guy that got to work with Jeter and understands, you know, he wears two for Jeter, understands what Jeter, but I don't think he's the answer, though. I think you need somebody quieter that's just going to come in here and do their job. And I think you guys will turn on Jazz just as quick as you've turned on Gleyber Torres and DJ LeMahieu and Anthony Volpe and Alex Verdugo. That's too flashy of a name. Maybe they get it done, and I would welcome it because he is athletic. He is young. I like the flair, a left-handed hitter. I think he's been playing the outfield, though. I know he can play the infield, but they moved him to the outfield. And obviously I don't watch a lot of Marlins baseball, but we don't need outfielders unless you're just like, oh, well, this guy, we can get rid of Trent Grisham and put him out there. But yeah, he's been playing center field, so I don't understand the Jazz Chisholm stuff too much either. You need somebody that is more of a lunch pail guy. Not saying that he's not, but he's had his issues as well with teammates. You know, some of you guys talking about bringing Donnie Baseball in here. Donnie Baseball had to reprimand him as the manager of the Marlins. I think you have enough personality here. You have enough swag and mojo here. Man, bring in the guys who they all they care about is hitting. All they care about is defense. They're out on the field hours before the game doing drills. And let that be contagious. Let that be picked up by their other teammates. Bring some new blood in here and do the research on their personality and their work ethic and their preparation. Bring in some guys that are quiet as kept that just care about baseball. Not saying that Jazz doesn't, but I just don't think that's the answer for this team. You have enough personality. You have enough flair and flash. Enough of that. We need the substance, right? That's not a guy that can help this infield. This is a guy that I know played shortstop, and he's playing the outfield. So he's going to come here, and you expect him to be a third baseman or a second baseman? I get it as a left-handed hitter, maybe a leadoff hitter. Let me pull up his numbers. Jazz Chisholm is not the answer for me, and not for what I think the Marlins are going to want for him. 888-808-1019. And yeah, this is a children's program. Y'all got to chill. I dumped it so I can't hear it, but it's just like, why even do that? Teddy and Yonkers, you're on the fan. What's up, Teddy?
Hey, Keith, people like Sparky Anderson, Earl Weaver, Billy Martin, they kicked butt when they had to. Okay, I was a teacher, you know that, for 35 years, high school in New York City. I coached girls basketball for 10 years, girls volleyball for 3 years. You gotta yell sometimes. No one says to get physical, of course not. Okay, you can't get physical in the classroom, but you can have discipline. And there's gotta be consequences to people's actions. I don't care what profession it is. Look what's going on in the political spectrum. I can't stand it. You see the headline in the Post? The regardless of what Biden's condition is, the disrespect they have for the President of the United States, they put him in a wheelchair as a baby.
Thanks for the call, bro, but I don't know what you're talking about.
Like that went off the rails quickly. I don't care about. I don't know. I'm not even gonna address it, bro. I don't know what you're talking about. That's not for me. I'm watching that. I watched a lot of sports, but I don't. I'm watching Braves, Diamondbacks in here. But going back to what you said about yelling is empty. If it's coming from someone that you don't take seriously, it's cool, dad. Cool dad is mad. Yeah, all right, cool dad. See you tomorrow. Cool dad, you upset? Like, I have football coaches that yelled, and then they did something right away. Either you got to run, or they're embarrassing you, and they're pulling you out, and then the yell had some power. Yelling is one that, obviously, don't get physical. And you want to talk about these old school managers, we're not in the old school. This is modern day time. This is participation trophy time. This is coddling time. This is, oh, don't be too mean. You might hurt their feelings. They might never forgive you, and then you can never get them to play for you. I understand it. Boone, as a father, having multiple kids, I think he takes some of that approach to his players. I think he's developed himself into a player's manager, someone that they like. I know for a fact that the captain of this team does not want to see Aaron Boone go anywhere he wants to win for him. So it is what it is. It is what it is. I don't think yelling does anything, and I don't think you have the bodies to actually reprimand a guy where he's on the bench for a series. You don't. You got to win. You got to win. And I think it's important for the Yankees to win the division this year. That's starting to slip away. If they drop 3 to the Orioles coming up here, you could kiss it goodbye. They got to be ready to fight. And I don't think Aaron Boone's going to get them ready to fight for him by disrespecting them, embarrassing them, calling them out on TV, whether it's in-game or in the post-game. He's not doing that. That's not his approach. That's not his style. I don't know what he says behind the scenes, but they have who they have, and they got to depend on these guys right now, and it's too late for anything else. It just is what it is. 888-808-1019. Boone is your manager. Brian Cashman is your general manager. Hal Steinbrenner is your owner. These are your New York Yankees. We've seen them be dominant. We've seen them be good. They need to get back to that. I've got 20 minutes. Let's take this break, and I'll get in as many calls as I can. If you're on hold, stay on hold. I definitely got you. And as I get rid of calls, if you've got something you want to add, call in, and I'll sneak you in. Keith McPherson on the Fan, BRB.
Chargers and the New York Giants have exchanged their draft picks.
When this happened, you talked about it on the Fan.
Eli Manning and Philip Rivers.
When New York sports happens, talk about it here. The Fan, 101.9 FM, and always live on the Free Odyssey app.
Yes, sir. Okay, here's my last 14 minutes on the Fan tonight. Good to be back. Thanks for all the calls, tweets, and helping me get through another 5-hour KM to AM. The Mets lost today, and I mean, the Yankees feels like they lose every day outside of the 14-run Ben Rice game, whatever. They're in a bad one, but tomorrow is a new day, and C-Mac is coming up next, so that means tomorrow is about to start. The Yankees will take on the Rays with Carlos Rodon, who hasn't been able to be the stopper, Carlos Rodon, who's been feeble, like Frank the Tank says about Jeff McFeeble. He's been feeble lately. He needs to go out and have a solid outing. Like, he needs to have one of his best, but I don't know. Here comes Ryan Pepio from the Tampa Bay Rays, who, I mean, if you just look him up, he's 6'3", 215. He's got nasty stuff. He's got a bunch of stuff on Pitching Ninja, if you look him up on Twitter. So could I see a Yankees team still licking their wounds, feeling sorry for themselves, going through the motions, taking it for granted, being back in their home away from home, Tampa, with a lot of their fans in the building, thinking that they can just roll out there and face the 44 and 46 Tampa Bay Rays and they lay down? And if Carlos Rodon gives up a couple homers and this Ryan Pepio kid locks it down, like, could I see them losing again? I absolutely could. But I also could see the opposite. And then here we go, running it back with the Nationals. Some home cooking. The Mets get back to Citi Field, where there were a lot of good vibes, and they can fire those good vibes back up again. I know they lost the last series, losing 2 to the Astros, but before that, they had an amazing run, and some amazing things come out of Citi Field. It's Jake Irvin versus Jose Quintana, and I'll be on the Fan after both of those games conclude tomorrow night.
Let's get back to the phones and take these calls as quick as I can. Peter is in Hopog, New York. Peter, you're first up. You got it.
New York sports happens. Talk about it here. The Fan, 101.9 FM, and always live on the...
No, we don't got time for that. You got to know what you're doing, buddy. Ross is in Bergen County. Ross knows exactly what to do. What's up, Ross?
Bro, I can't do that. I got to be on the phone 24-7 this time, and I with all the loopies. Three calls in a row, I've been on hold. You got the Jersey Mike's guy and everything. You can't make it up, dude. How's it going, man?
It's going. I know C-Mac is going to get loopy on the late night activated in the next 20
every
minutes.
Night, dude. Shout out to Rami behind the glass with the clips. With C-Mac, you got the Cashman Boone. He got all the calls. It's unbelievable. He was real quick. He was talking about he had a story. He was defending Ohtani one night, and I think he went viral. It was an article in Japan or something. He was going worldwide, yeah. But anyway, man.
More C-Mac. More C-Mac clips on WFAN social media. They always hit. He's batting 1,000.
No doubt about it, man. But anyway, listen, real quick, you're talking about the All-Star game. Listen, I'll be the last person to show for a Met player, but I think Lindor and Nimmo in particular got absolutely hosed. And meanwhile, Alonso, I mean, I got the D-backs game on right now. I don't know how Alonso got in over Christian Walker. And I saw somebody bring up, I guess it's kind of like karma for last year when Perdomo got in over Lindor. So it's kind of like, you know, a universe never unconnects in a kind of way.
We all know why Pete is in. It's Manfred hearing him say, hey, if I get in the game, I'll do the derby, and then they can market that, the three-peat. And then I also have in the Mets notes what went on in Mets land. Pete is slashing 292, 381, 514 with four homers and four doubles in his last 19 games dating back to June 16th. So I know everybody's looking at his full, you know, half a season numbers, but, like, as of late and in this run, like, Pete has been there.
Dude, yeah, and I know obviously the offense isn't the reason they've been losing games as a late. Obviously, this bullpen's anemic. I mean, we had guys like Reed Garrett, and I remember seeing a tweet a couple months ago. This guy, complete pessimist, and, you know, I couldn't blame him at the time, but he was going full sell mode in May. I know you talk about you don't got to make trades right at the deadline. He wants to ship guys like Reed Garrett off. You know, to hindsight, 2020, you see a guy with
it's
like
a loser mentality.
ERA.
There's no need to be talking about that with what this team has become.
Yeah, well, I mean, that was before Grimace and the OMG, and now you see you see the furry people they had at PNC. You want to talk about Loopy?
Oh, yeah, my boy Dre actually put me on. He said that the guy that made the OMG sign was the guys with the OMG. I'm like, do they sell these now on Mets.com? No, these three guys that were sitting there in front row seats with the OMG signs, they made the OMG sign for the Mets, so.
Yeah, but they were showing the rabbits and foxes all over the park. You couldn't make it up. But anyway, I mean, real quick with this bullpen thing, I know it's, you know, legitimately costing them games, yet, you know, aside from this guy Nunez, you know, has been something. But Diaz coming back, he's looked a little shaky. You guys got, like, Jake Diekman, you know, you go through it. Ottavino, Adam Atheligos, and kind of real quick segue to, you know, Frank, I mean, you look around the NL and see, I don't know if you want, I got designated 10 o'clock teams. I don't know if you do, but my go-to team at 10 o'clock is the Padres. I don't know if you catch your games at night, but, dude, they're cinematic.
They're
quick
balling
on Friday night.
Manny Machado,
dude, they had a 7-2 lead, going into the ninth against Arizona. Arizona scored six straight. And then I don't know if you caught this with Frank. So real quick, before Frank got to Barstool, there was kind of like a one-on-one hatred he had. And Paul Sewell, that I'm talking about, just blew his third lead in a row. When prior to meeting, catching Frank the Tank's first pitch out in Arizona, hadn't blown a save all year. Up until that point, he's blown three saves in a row. You got the game up, dude? Dude, it is incredible. Dude, it's like I brought up, the universe never unconnect, dude. It's hilarious, dude. And you want to talk about, you know, Paul, I can't say the word,
here we are in the top of the ninth.
Circle.
A two-run lead. Everyone thinks that it's just the Mets and Yankees bullpens and the Mets and Yankees closers that aren't good. It's not that they're not good. It's hard to do.
No, it's everybody do. The Padres are talking about San Diego. They gave up and they kind of went unnoticed because they won the game. They gave up six in the top of the ninth. They gave up a grand slam, and I think Richick or somebody had to go ahead.
Yeah, anybody can get got, bro. Sean Murphy, the number eight hitter, just took him deep to tie the game. So I just got to let you go, Ross. Just I got to be respectful to some of the other callers, and I know you get on the Fan a lot. Thanks for knowing what to do. Let's go to Thomas in Center Reach next up on the Fan. Go for it, Tom.
Yo, Keith, what's going on, bro?
Not too much, but, you know, watching another top reliever in baseball give up a two-run homer to blow the lead. He will not be getting the save tonight, and we may have extras out in the desert.
Yeah, I'm watching that, and I'm watching the other game on simulcast right now with the Ranger Angel with bases loaded, two outs. David Robertson's coming in the bottom of the seventh against Kevin Pillar.
I got to get eyes on that.
That's what's going on in the other game, and because Anthony Rendon actually brought in an RBI. Shocker.
Shocker that he's even back and playing. But, yes, go on. You're running out of time.
All right. So I just want to talk really quick about this. The Mets, really, mainly what that guy called about before, I think around, like, the 10-ish hour, 10:30, the Mets guy who runs the IG page. He's an interesting guy. Sometimes I watch his stuff. But what he said about Pete Alonso, I disagree with. He's a guy who you really need to keep on the team present in a morale standpoint.
Yeah.
But at the same time, the cons of having feet is sometimes when he doesn't hit, it's a real big problem because that guy's really one of your guys who needs to stay hot. And when he goes cold, he's a really big downside. So I understand where there are Met fans that say get rid of him. But there's also, he has so much, not really potential, but I guess the word would be potential. I don't really know how to describe it.
No, but it's not potential. So you've seen him have multi-home run games. You've seen him have weeks where he's hit five home runs. That can happen. What if he goes to the Derby and remembers who he is, wins it, and comes back and goes on a tear? You're going to trade that guy if he does that in late July? No.
No. Yeah, I meant like potential to get hot. That's what I was trying to.
We know it's in there. He definitely has the potential to get hot, like, and we haven't seen him put it together for a series or a week yet.
No, and I'm happy today. Brandon Nimmo said he wants them to actually not blow up the team. He said today he wants them to be buyers. That came out as a report.
Yeah, he said that they plan on addressing it. So just saying that's what I was telling folks earlier, Thomas. I'm like, read between the lines here. You're going to be buyers. You're not sellers. So all the calls about who the Mets should move with Luis Severino and J.D. Martinez and even Pete Alonso, that's expired. Thanks for the call, Thomas. They have played their way out of that. And even if they split, you know, or play 500 baseball, you know, rest of the way till the deadline, I think you can read between the lines with how they're protecting Christian Scott, how they're protecting J.D. Martinez. They're playing for the future. Anyway, Rich is in Corvallis, Oregon on The Fan in New York.
All right. Nice to be on. Big fan.
Thanks. Hey.
Former Monmouth resident. Went to RBR. Graduated probably about a year before you were at the same time.
Red Bank Regional. That's who stood in the way of Kenny Pickett bringing a state championship back to Ocean Township High School after me. Kenny couldn't get by those Red Bank Regional Buccaneers.
Yep, Buccaneers, and I was lucky to stand on the sideline when No'Shawn Moreno was giving it to us.
It was my year. Yep, I played in the Governor's Bowl All-Star game with him. Freak of nature, that kid.
So you're below me. But what I wanted to talk about was, I've heard a lot of people saying that, like, the manager is not that important in the MLB anymore, and I can't agree with that because I think you're right that Boone can't be who he isn't. And it's kind of a problem where it feels like the players don't really respect him, don't care about him. As you said, cool dad, you know.
It's not that they respect him, but I think that their agenda trumps his. If Trent Grisham just wants to play it cool in center field, he's not thinking about what the manager's going to say. If Alex Verdugo wants to chuck his bat 20 feet in the air and take a minute around the bases, he's not thinking about what the manager has to say.
Yeah, but don't you think that automatically what you just described is a lack of respect?
I mean, ultimately, I think it's a lack of respect, but I also think it's these ball players, man. They get in their own ways and heads. Yeah, you're right. I mean, I think that he has the respect of guys like Aaron Judge who have been here. But I don't know. I think sometimes he can lose the clubhouse as far as when they go out there and they do stupid stuff. What they're not thinking about, Aaron Boone's going to tighten me up because he is the cool dad. You got respect for cool dad too. You just don't fear him. Would you rather be revered? Would you rather be feared or respected?
Yeah. I mean, I do think that there is a delicate game that can be played though. Like you have some players, coaches that are able to play that off. And I think it was
a coincidence that Bruce Bochy figured it out.
Yeah, I think you're probably right about the Boone. They're going to let him play out his contract and then they're going to move on.
And that's it. Thanks for the call, Rich. I don't think there is a firing Aaron Boone. But if this season fails with all that they put in for a Juan Soto trade, an Alex Verdugo trade, signing Marcus Stroman, having Judge go God mode again,
You know what I'm saying? Like, then they have no choice but to move in a different direction because it's not good enough. Failure time and time again is not good enough. And here in New York, the standard of excellence is more than just being fine and making the postseason. Eli in Washingtonville on the Fan next.
Hey, Keith, what's going on? Listen, I feel like this is deja vu. We had the same conversation like two seasons ago when the Yankees started off really, really hot. And then the Astros came into town, they smacked them in the mouth, and then they spiraled downhill. And now it's the same thing with the Boston Red Sox. Boston Red Sox came in here, started running all over the Yankees, and then all these mistakes and bloopers started happening. And listen, when it comes to like the Cashman thing and the firing, I mean, of Aaron Boone, it's not going to happen. You know why? Because this guy is like a Supreme Court judge, Cashman. There's no firing that guy. And Boone and him are attached at the hip. So us Yankee fans that love this team, we're just going to have to ride this wave of mediocrity when it comes to baseball now. Because the teams are just built adequate.
Yeah.
Adequate to beat up on bad teams in the regular season. And then once you start getting into good teams, and at the dog days of summer, that's it.
Tom in Port Washington, stay on hold, and C-Mac will get to you. I'm sorry I could not, but Eli just brought up a good point for the Yankee fan out there. Understand that they understand that they're not going to win 115 games, that they're going to start off hot and cool down. They're going to have injuries. But they believe that they have the right general manager and manager in place to get to October. And what they hope week every year is that one year will be the year where they play their best baseball and it all comes through. So stay the course. Do not get off this roller coaster. C-Max coming up next. I'll be back tomorrow after the game. Appreciate you all. Good night.
Sports Radio 101.9 FM. WFAN.